office of the Dean of Women's Office, 220 Strong Hall. Tonight's broadcast is the last in a series on the exceptional woman. Tonight's program, The Young Feminist. Last week, you heard a program in this series entitled Outstanding Senior Women, 1974. A feminist perspective provides a forum for women themselves to speak publicly on issues of concern to them and helps inform other women and men of the movement which is remaking the shape and substance of women's and men's lives. The Women's Resource and Career Planning Center contains large amounts of information, news clippings, government documents, magazine articles, research studies, and books pertaining to the many aspects of the women's movement. We would like to invite you to come in and browse or take advantage of the materials which can be borrowed. That's in 220 Strong Hall at the University of Kansas. Tonight, joining us for the program on the exceptional woman, the young feminist, I'm very pleased to have with us three young women from really across the country. We have visiting with us tonight from out of town, Miss Maren Hesla from Atlanta. Hi, welcome. Welcome to Lawrence and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So can you tell us something about yourself? What do you do?
I'm a student at Briarcliff High School in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm 14 years old, and I'm here visiting a friend of mine.
Well, thank you very much. We're glad to have you.
Okay.
Also from out of town visiting with us today is Ms. Annie Sherwood from Topeka. Welcome, Annie.
Thank you.
Can you tell us something about yourself?
I'm a senior at Washburnville High School in Topeka, and I'm 18 years old.
Thank you. And we have Ms. Morna Orsch, who is from Lawrence. Hi, Morna. Can you tell us about yourself?
I go to South Junior High School, and I'm interested in biology and drama.
And how old are you?
I'm 14.
Well, thank you very much. So, to begin this evening's discussion, I would like to ask each of you, how did you first become involved, and how did you first become aware of the issues of the women's movement? Annie, why don't we start with you?
Well, I don't think I can pinpoint an exact time. It's probably an accumulation of events. One in particular, I applied for a job at a lawn and nursery service, which will go unnamed, but I applied for a job there. My brother had a similar job. It's manual labor, for all that matters. Lawn mowing, raking, that kind of thing. I thought it'd be really good, you know, you'd be outdoors all summer. But I couldn't get the job, and I asked why, and it wouldn't be a matter of physical capabilities because I've been doing that sort of work in my own yard for about 5 years, and the employers are neighbors of ours, and so they knew that. And she said her husband wouldn't hire me because I was a girl. And I said, why? And she said, because that would be a distraction to the boys working there. And that sort of infuriated me, and it went on from there, I guess.
And about how long ago was that?
3 years.
3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you've been brewing about various things since that time.
Yeah. Okay.
Maren, when did you first become aware?
I can't really pinpoint it, but like in the first grade books, Sally, Dick, and Jane, Sally goes outside and plays in the lawn, and Dick goes and plays basketball or football or baseball or whatever else. And I always play baseball with my brother. And in the book, once Sally wanted to play baseball with whoever her brother was, I'd forgotten, and he wouldn't let her because he was a girl. And I remember I went home crying because I thought I wasn't supposed to play baseball. And that's my earliest memory. I don't know if you'd call that a feminist thing, but that was kind of...
Well, it certainly affected you.
Yeah.
And made you aware that, for some reason, Sally was being discriminated against in that book, although I don't know that you would have thought of it in particularly those terms.
Not quite, but general, that's the kind of thing.
Morna?
I don't know the exact time. I'd say it was about in the seventh grade, and I was just reading and, you know, learning, and as I read... and the new magazine Ms. came out, and I'd read and say, that's exactly how I felt, you know, I'm so glad somebody's saying it. And as I found out that there were other people, you know, just in the United States or the world that felt the way I did about certain things, then I, you know, started thinking more and more about it and getting more and more opinions and doing things.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, when you became aware that in some cases or in some situations, women and men with equal interests or qualifications were not treated the same, and apparently on that basis, that they were men or women. Well, what did you first do? How did you first become an active feminist? Annie, you ran for president of your class, didn't you?
Yeah. I told you about that earlier. as an example, at my school, I don't think there had ever been a junior class president that was a girl. It is traditionally a boy's position. And I ran for it, and I won, and encountered very few problems except for with the graduation. The president ushers the graduating seniors into the gymnasium, that's what we use.
And this is a tradition
yeah,
at your high school.
Mm-hmm. That the president of the junior class ushers the graduating seniors in. And that presented a problem to, I don't know if it was the administration or just the people who were concerned with tradition or what it was, but that didn't suit them that a girl would be ushering in these people. So they got the vice president, who happened to be a boy, to be a co-usher, and we both led them in. But they definitely had to have a male there.
Did you do it equally?
Yeah, we did that. We served the same purpose. We each took a side of the room.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you feel when this was explained to you?
Well, I was mad. I thought it was ridiculous. They expected me to assume all the responsibilities as the president, which aren't very numerous, but we're responsible for some activities and things, and I was expected to do that. But I wasn't capable of walking up between two sets of chairs and ushering people in, which is ridiculous, if you ask me.
Not particularly meaning to pursue this too far, but now you're a senior this year. Who's going to usher your class?
A boy.
By himself?
I imagine so. Or perhaps we'll have another boy helping him out. But as it stands, it's the president of the junior class, and he is a male.
Okay. Morna, when did you first do something active to follow up on your interests?
Since I found out a little bit about it so that I could, you know, speak on the subject, I would talk to my friends when things happened that I thought were very discriminating. I would always say something, and, you know, talk in class, you know, like social studies classes, you have a lot of discussions on things like that. I started writing a column for the school newspaper, and I would put down the wildest, most radical things I could think of in there that would make the whole school very angry, and that was the way I got lots of reactions, because after a newspaper would come out, people who I didn't know would come up and ask me questions and talk to me, and it would be really interesting to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Maren?
Well, I don't know if you know it, but the Equal Rights Amendment was defeated in Georgia just about a month ago. But right before, while it was still going through with the legislature, I was one of the girls that was passing out the buttons at school. And by the day that they were voting for it, every girl in Briarcliff had a ERA button. And I've done like what Morna has, talked to my friends. You know, mm-hmm. Just protested in general.
Well, when you were going through some of these, you know, you were starting to become an active feminist, what did you find, you know, the reactions of some of your colleagues, some of your peers? Did you find that you had some people who felt the same way, and so you could get an alliance of interested and concerned women? Or what did you find the situation to be? Morna, here in Lawrence, what did you find out at your school?
I know about 2 years ago, when I was in the seventh grade, there was nobody in the school besides myself, I think, who I was with, who would say that they were for more than equal pay for equal work, and just about anybody, after thinking about it, would say, okay, I'm for that, but that's as far as I'll go. But their attitudes have changed lately. Now I've got several friends who, you know, who believe what I believe, you know, but more and more the kids who I used to argue with don't make fun of my ideas anymore, and a lot more they agree with more of it, they accept more of it. Some of them just assume some of the values they were against to be true now. just in the past 2 years, there's been all this change.
And you can see that change within particular individuals.
Oh, yes,
that are in your class.
Definitely.
Very interesting. Annie, what do you find the situation at your high school?
At present, there are very few who are interested, not even actively interested, in the women's movement. For example, in my government classes, we were given out a list of subjects to study during the semester. And besides the ones that you had to study, like the Kansas Constitution, U.S. Constitution, there were other elective subjects. And the women's movement was on it, and that brought jeers and laughter and these kind of things. And it wasn't chosen.
How many people would have had to express an interest for it to be chosen?
Just a simple majority. That didn't come about. Although, in my world history class, we had the same thing where you choose subjects to study. And we have Mrs. Ball, my history teacher, has a unit called Call Me Ms. And we're going to study that. Strangely enough, there are seven girls in our class and no boys. And that may be why we were going to study that, because there weren't any boys to vote against it. And that's generally who votes against it, or at least that's what I found. But there are few avid promoters of the women's movement, but very, very few. And they are all females. And most people that I talk to about it are indifferent. There's a good deal of apathy about it, but there are some that are willing to fight, and they really have no valid justification for their beliefs, but they're not willing to listen. And, well, they talk in stereotypes, to put it plainly.
What happened recently, I participated in a program at your school, and the program was certainly aimed toward the women's movement. I wonder if you had any, since it was pretty widely known that you had organized the program that brought me there, I wondered if you had any after effects or any repercussions in either direction.
Well, if any, they were from people that appreciated the program. And a lot of kids said it was, you know, it was fun. It wasn't like, we got to get out of class for an hour, but they enjoyed it, the presentation itself. And which I think is very, very good, because basically our school is unaware and is making no attempt to become more aware of the women's movement and the changing social attitudes toward women in the United States. And basically there were the remarks I heard from people, they appreciated the program very much. I might also add that they were almost all women that said that.
I don't find that particularly surprising, especially if the school as a whole is rather uninitiated,
right,
as you have described
it.
While I was still there, I think that we had a lot of people talking, and I just hoped that that would continue. And that may be a lot to expect from one program or one day's worth of programs. But at least I think we made some kind of impression on a few people.
Yeah,
we hope.
I think so. You have to get it started.
And we got some men talking, too. At least there were certainly some men that approached me to make some comments about what we'd said. Myron said, what have you found in your colleagues? Now, you certainly got a lot of women interested if you had all the women in your high school wearing ERA buttons before the vote was taken. What did you find?
I think most of them really do believe that women are just as good as men are. And you're like, they really think that. And then one thing that I don't understand is how they couldn't think that in Kansas. It just doesn't make sense. There doesn't seem to be too much apathy. The only point where they aren't sure is that if the ERA did go through, there's a lot of talk that women would be drafted as well as men because we've declared ourselves equal. And some girls my age didn't, you know, they'd rather stay at home and take care of their baby.
Right now, that's a rather moot point because we don't have the draft for anyone.
Well, you know, they were afraid that they would have to go off to war because they had declared themselves equal. That was the main point against the ERA, I think, in Georgia.
That's very interesting. What about the role or the attitudes
of the male students at your school. If all the women were wearing ERA buttons, what were the men doing?
The seniors, the older they got, they are willing to accept women as equals, but in the eighth grade, you know, go back to the kitchen where you belong.
Now, you should explain probably that your high school includes five grades.
That's true. My high school is 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. Mm-hmm. So the 8th graders, about my age, the 14-year-old boys, still do jeer. They don't believe that we're equal. I know kind of that's the way it is in Kansas, too. I've met one or two boys that really don't think that we're equal. And then, but the older they get, the more they're willing to accept that.
I don't think that what I stated earlier about apathy, I don't think it's a question of equality. For example, last year in my American history class, our teacher developed this plan where we would have a debate on women's liberation. And I guess he decided it was a logical way to arrange things, to divide the class in two parts, not according to beliefs, but by sexes, so the girls would fight the boys, and that's, I guess, what he wanted. The only thing was there was no debate, because the boys basically agree with the girls, mm-hmm. with the whole idea. It's just that they're not actively interested in it. There's no, you know, they're not contesting everything. There are individuals that do that. They don't question the equality of the two sexes, but perhaps it's that they like the present role of the woman in the society, and they don't want that to change. They want the woman to remain dependent on the man, or at least in marital status, mm-hmm. where she's not an independent, she's not the aggressive personality within the marriage, things like that. But
they don't find dependency in any way just incompatible with equality? Or did you qualify that by saying in marriage
situations? Yeah, in marriage situations.
I personally would probably still disagree with that. But I guess that perhaps to people who, for the most part, are not engaged in a marriage contract, that perhaps that's easier to understand.
Yeah.
I could still be an interesting point to discuss.
It was.
But like on dates, the boy still likes to think that he is the one. He takes you out. He picks you up. You know,
he pays for your coke. Did you say you don't do that?
No.
What are you doing?
I ask them out. Things like, you know, I don't. I have very small income, and so do people I go out with. So my friends, likewise. And there's no reason, unless, you know, out of their generosity, like to do nice things, then I let them, if that's the argument. But I pay for my own way.
Yeah. Morna, have you ever had any success with paying your own way?
Yeah. People will claim that, boys will claim that they're for everything, you know, in women's liberation. They believe women are completely equal in everything, but it still bothers them when you want to pay your own way.
Mm-hmm.
That really seems threatens them, especially right up there at the window, you know, to pay for movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. That when it comes right down to something that's practical like that, they're a little bit different than what they say.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you recently have a experience like that, Mara, right up there at the Coke machine?
Yeah.
You know, really, a Coke, I think, even out of the machine, it was only 20 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It was only 20 cents, and I said I could buy mine. And I'm not going to mention his name, but you know him. He refused to let me get my own drink. He insisted that he could pay for it, and I bet you I make more money than he does because I've got a regular babysitting job. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it's kind of an amazing thing. We were talking about your friends and your colleagues at school and what they think of the whole situation and how they've reacted to you as young feminists. What about your family? How do they react to your involvement and to your beliefs that are probably rather different than what they might generally be exposed to?
Well,
Morna, go ahead.
I know I get some teasing at my husband. It's not the kind you would expect. It's my dad will come and play the role of exactly opposite of what I think, just to challenge me and just to get me excited, and we will have tremendous arguments. But I know it's my parents, you know, they're for everything I'm for. I know I wouldn't be if it wasn't for them, because, you know, the whole atmosphere I was raised and everything, all their opinions, you know, I learned about these things, and there are other values that you have that, you know, influence whether or not you believe in equality and things like this. And so, you know, I know it's mainly basically because of them probably that I ever had the consciousness that could accept mm-hmm. ideas like this.
So even though your father takes pride in playing the devil's advocate, you feel that it really is the supportive background that you've had at home
yeah.
that has enabled you to be as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Annie, what do you find at home?
Well, I find the same sort of teasing. My parents, my brother, relatives, they like to tease you. They, you know, it's all in good fun. I don't think that there's any, you know, there's no great battle, debate. Maybe in some extreme things we disagree, but basically they agree with the belief in inequality between men and women. I have to say I was raised in that same sort of atmosphere, like ever since, well, I can't remember a time when I wasn't, oh, you know, I've always been pushed to go on to college, you know, establish myself as an individual, you know, don't get married quick and be play the role of housewife, but you decide what you want as an individual, get a profession if that's what you want. There are four girls in my family, and it's been that way for all of us. And so I think that an atmosphere like that is conducive to developing feminist ideas.
Lauren, what's your situation?
My dad has always been, you know, just right behind me. He's always told me that I can be whatever I want to be, doctor, lawyer, brain surgeon, gravedigger, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother teases me. He says that a woman's place is in the kitchen, and he firmly believes that a man should be the one who goes out and earns the money. And I don't know how much of that is teasing and how much he really believes. Probably most of it he really believes, but that's just him.
You have to work on that.
Oh, I do.
You have fertile fields right in your backyard. Well, now, what do you see as being some of the ongoing concerns of the women's movement that young feminists ought to be concerned about? What should you and your peers and your friends who are of any sort who are interested, what should you be concerned with? What are some of the issues for young feminists?
I think as a feminist within in a school system, elementary, junior high, and high school, we can concern ourselves with discrimination within the school and try and change that, specifically within athletic departments, because there's a great deal of discrimination economically in high schools, junior highs too, also in the area of career education. They have a habit of always portraying the man in the stereotyped role, the woman in the stereotyped role. I was at a grade school 2 weeks ago where my little sister's in third grade, and we went with the French department to try and drum up some interest and get increased enrollment. But our school district has been real interested in career education, as has, I think, a lot of the United States in the past couple of years. And so they've started a program in it. And they have all these little posters around the room. And we saw the posters, man in the law enforcement role, fireman role, doctor role, and the woman played nurse and teacher. They start them right off in third grade, first grade, with the stereotype roles, and sort of limit their career, their ideas, their associations from the very beginning. And I think that can be changed.
That certainly ties right in with what Marnie had said about her first grade books.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because the traditional elementary school texts have been very stereotypic in the ways that they have portrayed careers, or the more specifically, the way they have portrayed men and women in their roles. Men on the job,
right.
The woman standing at the kitchen mm-hmm. sink with an apron on.
I know right in Lawrence right now we've got a couple of things going on that, you know, should be, if you're a feminist, you should be concerned with, or if you're at all interested in what you can do right now. In the Lawrence schools, there's been a lot of interest, especially in the last year or two, among the girls in having some sort of an athletic program. And the reason they say we haven't is because there used to be interest, and we used to have one many years ago, and the interest just dwindled off. But lately, in girls intramurals, which is just, you know, setting up teams within the school who play with each other, there's just been, you know, a tremendous number of girls involved, and they've wanted some other programs, and they've wanted more than volleyball and basketball and a couple of other sports a year. They've wanted teams, and there's the talent for it and everything. And so some of the principals and gym teachers went to the school board, and they talked to them about setting up a program. And the school board was, you know, I guess they thought it was a pretty good idea and everything, but they wondered where the money was going to come from. And from what I got from reports of the meeting, there was no mention of just taking a little bit of the money off the boys for a while to start setting up a girls' program. Where to get that money, you know. They say, we don't have the money, we can't set it up. You know? Another place is, not career education, but in the shop and home ec classes.
Career offerings in terms of classes.
And you're allowed to, I know at South, take any course you want. There are girls in the shop classes, you know. But I know at some of the other schools, you're allowed to, but it's completely you're completely encouraged not to, and nobody does. And
from reading the newspaper recently, that's been a rather hot issue, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. There have been all sorts of articles written into the paper ever since they had an article in the paper showing the boys' seventh grade class they're required to take, where they build model houses and things like this, and the girls take a home ec course, which they learn sewing, cooking, and they have some things where they learn how to plan a house when you grow up, and, you know, nutritional needs of a family and things like this. I didn't enjoy the course too much, but you do learn something out of it. But there have been things written into the paper about a course for both boys and girls, you know, they could take and learn all these skills, and there's been a lot of interest in that.
Mm-hmm. So that these things are now, mm-hmm. and these people are really talking about them throughout the community.
We have a lot of career education in Lawrence, too, but there was no stereotyping at all in my career education course.
I mean, it was stereotype-free?
Yeah, it really was.
Really a lot of opportunities and different kinds of role models for both men and women presented.
There was not that much presented at all. You really just went and you picked out of this great big file what you wanted to be and do, and you researched it.
I think probably one of the problems with that is that the companies that produce the like the visual aids and things for career education programs are at fault, because they're the ones that place the men and the women in the stereotyped roles. I don't think it's like at our career education, our career fair at the school, it wasn't divided up, you know, sexual roles. Anyone could find out about any kind of opportunity.
That really surprised me, though, because I'd say about 50% of the people taking shop at Briarcliff are girls, and let's see, there were a couple of boys taking home ec. I don't know, you know, and they just did it voluntarily, because how many boys know about sewing and cooking?
Our school has set up I think it's a semester program, it's called Bachelor Living or something like that, where it's a specific class for boys to study. Well, it's home ec for boys is what it is, and it's an individual class for them. So that is an advancement, but it is segregated. It is a segregated class.
Yeah, you do wonder why those classes couldn't be taught together.
Yeah. That's when we were discussing this in student council. That's what my objection was. And if they set up a program for that, they ought to set up a condensed program for girls in the shop area. But no one seemed to like that idea.
We probably need to get more people interested.
Yeah, true.
But, well, what are your particular career plans? What do you hope to do in the long run? What are your life goals as you see them at this minute? Morna?
I changed my mind fairly frequently, although not as frequently as I think most people do. For a long time, I wanted to be a lawyer, and I guess I gave it up when I saw what happened to all the lawyers involved with Watergate and everything. That was about the time I gave it up. And I think now I'd either like to be a biologist or a school counselor or a psychologist.
Okay. Annie, what do you hope to do?
I have no idea. It's the easiest answer. I was very interested in medicine. I wanted to be a doctor and major in French and then go work in Africa or something like that, but found out that wasn't my profession. I faint or something. You know, I just don't get along in that area. So at this point, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just get an education.
Keep looking around.
Yeah.
And don't be limited by sex role stereotypes.
Don't worry, I won't.
Maren?
I'm still interested in law. I've had that since I was a little girl. I wanted to be president of the United States when I was in second grade. And I've changed my mind because there's really no sense in doing that. But Watergate has really turned me on because, like, I see there's a need for more honest lawyers than there are instead of doing the opposite.
Well, listen, we thank you all very much. We have been joined tonight for the program by three young feminists talking about their concerns and how they became aware of the women's movement. We thank you very much. Morna Orsch, Maren, Annie, thank you for coming. And stay tuned next week for another program on A Feminist Perspective. Good night.